Hello, and welcome to The Audiologist, a Phonak podcast series on audiology. We've chosen the topic of family-centered care for our first podcast series because we're convinced that family-centered care has a lot of potential for bringing hearing care to the next level. This established approach in healthcare recognizes the vital role that families play in treatment and rehabilitation. And specifically in audiology, we've seen it increase treatment adherence rates and hearing aid user satisfaction. Early on, we decided to convene an expert panel to develop a position paper that would offer hearing care professionals guidance and support them in implementing the family-centered care approach in their clinical practice. For our podcast series, we've sat down with a number of members of our FCC expert panel who are happy to share their insights, practical tips, and learnings with us. I am very excited to meet with Chris English today from the University of Akron. Chris is one of the driving forces behind both adult and pediatric family-centered care in our industry, and she has selected a very interesting focus for her research, which is emotion and reason in hearing healthcare. And I'm very curious what you can tell us about your findings today, Chris, and what tips you have for our listeners. So hello and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Christine. I'm happy to be here.
So, Chris, you've decided to focus on an aspect which probably makes a few hearing healthcare professionals shy away from implementing family-centered care, which is difficult conversations. Is it a myth that I'm going to be expected to be a marriage counselor when inviting the spouse of a patient into an appointment?
You've probably identified the primary concern that everyone harbors when they think about inviting another person to an appointment, especially if they're family. What if they're not on the same page? What if they've had a history of starting bickering and not being comfortable about handling it well, and they're just starting to blame each other, one to the next, about their problems? Even to the extreme point of, what if the relationship is really toxic? What if they are dysfunctional and hurtful? That last concern is rare, and we have to decide right away this is not something we can do. We are not marriage counselors. And in fact, we would just have to be objective and move on and hope that they work it out later on. But we also want to broaden our definition, because people who are coming in are not necessarily married or partnered. There could be adults with their adult children. It could be adults with their siblings and so on. So we'd also want to think, we are not family counselors either. Marriage and family counselors are not within our scope of practice. We do want to think about what we can do. And what we want to try to do is get the family to acknowledge their frustration and concerns, but then kind of come to a place of family-centeredness in a very genuine way to say, here's what we care about. And if they can tell us what that is, then we can work with that as a starting point.
What advice would you have for a practitioner who feels like they're getting pulled into a discussion about relationship problems that they're not really equipped to manage?
If the relationship's problems are not related to hearing loss, then we would have to draw a line and say, what we're talking about right now is not within my scope of practice. I'm not licensed to help you. But I do have referrals, by the way, and I can give you the names and numbers of people who can. If we can draw that line and say, can we move forward and focus only on how the hearing loss affects your life, and we get permission from families, then let's go ahead. If, in fact, it's just about the family dynamic and the family quality of life is starting to be impaired, we can dive in. This is not an unusual situation. We can build on that foundation and let them know that we are trying to help the hearing loss because it'll help the family.
Great. So, Chris, there's a lot of theory around family-centered care, but I think practitioners are really interested in how it works in clinical practice. Do you have any challenging or funny situations that you would like to share from an appointment?
I do, and in fact, in the spirit of family-centeredness, I'm going to tell you about my family, and I'm sure they won't mind. A long time ago, before we ever thought about family-centered care, my mother called, and she said, do you have a name of an audiologist in town? Because we need to get new hearing aids for your grandmother, her mother. And I said, sure, let's go ahead. Didn't really look into this too far. Unfortunately, looking back now, we made many missteps. Adults don't necessarily like to be told what to do. And when I found out, I did say, so what does grandma think about this? Her answer was, she'll love it. It's a big surprise. This is not I knew it wasn't going to work, but I didn't know how to intervene. And sure enough, almost by script, my grandmother worked with it for a little bit. And at one point, she actually stood up and walked out of the appointment. She was not going to do this. No one had brought her on board to say, here's my concern. Here's what are your concerns? And she just up and left. And my mother was frustrated and angry. And I knew I should know better, but I couldn't sort it out yet. Well, years later, if we fast forward, my mother calls again and she says, I need the name of another audiologist, this time for my sister, her sister, my aunt. And this time I knew better. So I said, before I give you the name of an audiologist, let's have a conversation. So just chill out, wait till I get back and we'll visit. And we had a sit down. The three of us, and I mentioned to my aunt, you know, we really want to talk about your hearing. I know that you're thinking it's not an issue. My mom sees it differently, but what I'd like to do is find out from my mom first. Mom, why is this important to you? And she started to tick off kind of predictable things. There's a breakdown when they try to give directions while they're driving, or there's problems with the phone. Did the phone actually ring, or were you actually not hearing it and you chose not to pick it up? It was a constant frustration. The breaking point seemed to be that there was a misunderstanding of the bids during a bridge tournament, and they lost the tournament and the prize, and they are excellent bridge players, but if you can't hear what your partner is saying, and my mom was really fit to be tied. I'm watching my aunt. She's very defensive in her body language. She's heard this before, and she was not impressed with the litany of concerns. So I wanted to think, family, what about family? So I asked my mom. Now, bear in mind, these women are a year apart, in their 80s, have lived attached to the hip their whole life, so I have that insider knowledge. So I asked my mom, so what does this mean to you in terms of sisterness? And everything changed. My mom relaxed more, my aunt got a little alert, and she said to her sister, you're not hearing the things I need you to hear. And she went on to say, so it was like the time when I said, you know, this is like that time with the purple shoes. I have no idea what that means, but it's a code that sisters can have after a history of sharing experiences and memories and jokes. And so she was talking about the purple shoes, and my aunt looked devastated. She said, when did you mention the purple shoes? And she said, you missed it, and I need you to get back. I need you back with me. And my aunt was stunned, and I was quite upset because I'm wondering about the purple shoes, but it wasn't the point. There's that those catchphrases that we do with people that we know so well, and we just put out that little phrase, and it brings all that stuff back. That's what family matters in terms of these two people. So I let that kind of sink in, and then I asked my aunt, so you've been saying that you're not interested in this hearing help, and I'm wondering why you think it's hard for you to consider it. And she said, well, there's all the problems with hearing aids. There's everyone kind of laughs at people who use hearing aids, that they are old and dottery and kind of losing their senses, but capabilities. And I understand it's hard to manage them because they're so small and my fingers are so stiff. And she started to look around like she was trying to escape, but she said, this matters in a different way than I thought about before, and it matters to my sister. So if it matters to her, it matters to me. And so we said, shall we go ahead and try this out and look at it? And she said, I'm all in. And so they attended the appointment together. I gave them the name. I said, here's the cherished audiologist you should talk to in your town. And amazingly, unprompted by anybody, the audiologist noticed that these two were coming as a team, and she brought them both in. I wanted to pass this on as a shout out to this audiologist who noticed that this was an opportunity. Because as they were going through the appointment, the usual stuff happened with case history and what are your concerns, and let's find out what's going on. And my aunt was not resisting, but if she needed one more little nudge, the audiologist said, so who do you talk to the most? And she said, this one. Since day one, we talk every day. And she said, so you sit, my mom, you sit over here. And she had my mom stand behind her while my aunt was talking to the, or listening, looking at the wall. And my mother stood behind her and spoke with her and said, what am I supposed to say? Well, anything you want. And she said, well, sis, you know what we're doing next. Now, of course, we agreed. We're going to go to that restaurant you like and have a lunch, the yarn shop. We need to knit up a baby blanket. And then she stopped, and my aunt was crying because she couldn't hear my mother. And she said, I get it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that audiologist struck the right note to say, what matters most, let's get to it. So that's my experience of knowing why families matter so much. Of course they matter. We just don't necessarily elevate it to that level in our audiology conversations.
Right. And what a contrast in those stories. Mm-hmm. I took away that you should attend an appointment with a family member, but you should not kidnap them and then surprise them with hearing care.
We knew that was a train wreck waiting to happen.
But then also how moving and motivating it can be to realize the stake mm-hmm. another person has in your life and in your mm-hmm. ability to successfully communicate and how powerful
exactly.
that can be.
Exactly.
So based on your experience, if you were speaking now with one of our listeners, an audiologist who wanted to start involving family members in the conversation, what would be some initial tips that you would provide?
Well, first of all, you'll notice an instinctive response to say, I see a difficult conversation that I don't know how to manage and I don't know what's going to happen. My first tendency is to avoid it altogether, fly over it, pretend it didn't happen, and move forward with my usual audiology work. That's not really going to achieve any goals. The next tendency might be to align yourself with the family member to say your loved one is really on the right track, and somehow you're having a two against one battle, as it were, and you're just pushing a person into a corner, and now you're part of the enemy camp. And so try not to do that. Try not to take sides. I know that sounds obvious, but it seems to be like if we just add on the persuasion, you'll see it our way. Instead, if we can find a way to develop a learning conversation, and experts say it's the idea of finding what matters most in their life. And I've been thinking about this idea. When we talk to a patient, we'll often say, tell me your story. How would you say a hearing loss is affecting the quality of your life? Can we just expand that scope a bit to say, tell me your family story, and how is this hearing situation affecting the quality of your family life? Which is what my mother just coincidentally did and taught me the most brilliant lesson about that. So I encourage people not only to bring their chairs up and talk to the audiologist, talk to each other about what matters, what is scary. Can we find a way to get past it together? And knowing that I'm part of the team, I'm not the leader, and I'm dragging you behind me and saying, come on, let's go, but saying, you tell me what your family goals are, and I'll put them in the center of your treatment plan, and we'll be fine here. So the idea being that, first of all, I want to reassure us that this kind of counseling conversation does not require, or this difficult conversation doesn't require a counseling degree. We don't have to go back to school. It's just appreciating the dynamics and assuming, unless we're proven otherwise, that the family, although they may not be very demonstrative or say it, they love each other, they care, they are committed, they're in it for the long run. They just right now are a bit testy because they're having a hard time with it, but they don't know what to do, and they haven't really had an honest conversation about why it matters. So if we can see a difficult conversation being transformed into a therapeutic conversation, we've been quite successful.
Excellent advice. I can definitely see the tendency for creating this almost gang up mm-hmm. situation against
this patient. It's so tempting because you're thinking, I can totally confirm with this loved one that you have, and now it makes it worse and we didn't even realize it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I am sure that many of our listeners will be relieved to know that implementing family-centered care will not require any additional degrees in psychology, but in fact, just tweaking mm-hmm. What we do already and what might be very natural in the situation, but just to feel that comfort to bring out the story of both attendees.
And trust the process. You want to be able to control it. That's what audiologists do. But you've got to, and if it doesn't work out, by the way, the caveat is you tried, but it often works and it usually works awfully well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here today, Chris. And for listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Chris's research in family-centered care, please visit www.phonakpro.com/FCC.